This is the Easy Like Sunday Morning podcast.
Hey guys, my name is Izine Zara and you're welcome to the Easy Like Sunday Morning podcast. I use this podcast like a radio show to chat with you guys on topics that you may have already discussed with your friends, but I want to bring a new perspective to the conversation by exploring it through the lens of my Christian faith to show you that the wisdom of Jesus Christ through scripture is still relevant and able to guide us in our daily human interactions. Some time ago, I was having a conversation with a friend who is still single, and she was expressing her frustration with the Christian dating space. Basically, a number of Christians do not either know how to interact with people socially beyond the four corners of the church or without using biblical speak. You know, you're trying to get to know them for months, but all they talk about is the vision they had last week or what pastor said in church on Sunday. Don't get me wrong, I love Christ and I love the church and you should too. However, if your relationship is going to progress into marriage, you're going to find yourself living with a very real human being. Basically, problems will arise if you haven't gotten to know each other beyond performative Christianese speak. This is why I asked Lady Oyinda Oluwadapo to have this conversation with me. We've been following each other on Instagram for some time now, and I even watched a video where she shared that she shot her shot to her husband. So what exactly is okay and what isn't when it comes to Christian dating? But before we get into all of that, make sure you hit the like button and leave a comment below. It really helps this channel and conversation reach other people.
Hi, Isine. How are you doing?
Hey, oh my gosh, you look so, so beautiful.
You too.
So I'm just going to go right into it. I'm just going to start talking. So before we start, we have a dilemma that someone has sent in that I'm just going to read out to you, and then we're going to kickstart our, you know, convo.
Okay, amazing.
It says, "Hey Izine, I have a crush on this guy, and it's a fairly normal crush. I actually like to call it an admiration. We have been talking for a while now, about 2 months, but we unexpectedly stopped talking a week ago. However, he has been on my mind and I just realized how much I like him. He seems to be everything I want in a guy. He's tall, handsome, living a Christ-centered life, hardworking and friendly. There are two things at play right now though. I'm supposed to be focusing on God this year and not dating anyone. But at the same time, I'm just wondering why God will allow me to meet this guy and foster this friendship with him when he knows I would eventually fall for him. The thing is, I am not ready to date this guy at all, but I want to shoot my shot and just let him know I'm interested in him. Then maybe we can start talking seriously next year. But I also do not want to be forward and make the first move in case he tells me he doesn't like me back. Why did he stop texting all of a sudden? I don't even know how to shoot my shot. And I guess the man is supposed to be the one making the first move and doing the chasing. I'm just really confused and I need advice for real." So, funny story. Before this convo, I was already talking about this with my husband and running things back with him. Like, well, these are the questions I want to have. And in the process, my husband and I actually started talking about it. So I will tell you what he said. But first, I want to hear what you have to say. Like, what do you think about this situation? And what do you define short shooting as?
Short shooting for a man is different from short shooting when it comes to a woman, right? And with women, I always say that you need wisdom to go about it. There was a story I wanted to tell. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the story. But the reason I say that is because many men are still averse to the concept of women shooting their shots. I've had conversations with men where they're like, "Ah, it's not a big deal. You know, this particular person, I've had this conversation with this person before and it was like, ah, no, it's not a big deal. You know, it's bold. It's very, you know, it's a bold move and he really admires it." When it eventually happened to him, he came back to me and was like, "Nah." Nah. So that's why I said it requires wisdom. For example, I always talk about how I shot my shot with my husband. And I didn't to go and tell him, "Oh, hey, Tolu, oh, I like you, this is that." That might have been too forward. I think he posted something on his story and then I responded to it, you know, of course, with wisdom. I mean, wise woman, I pride myself. So I responded to it and he was like, "Oh, you're so wise, you're such a smart woman, you know, I would like us to be friends." And then he collected my number and that was how we started. So you don't go you don't go in somebody's, you don't go to somebody's DM or just walk up to someone and say, oh, I like you. And of course, if you already have that friendship, like she said, you already have that friendship, you already have the rapport with this person, I think it's okay to just, I think it's okay to just, will it be too bold?
Yeah, okay, so okay. The thing is that I feel like there are people who might think, well, if I'm just quiet, what if someone else like swoops in?
Exactly, or... exactly. That's why I say sometimes you actually have to take that bold move. If you build that friendship, you build that rapport, because you don't want it to die in friendship and you see that this guy ends up dating somebody else or ends up liking somebody else and you end up getting hurt just because you refuse to speak up. So if you build that friendship, if you build that rapport, I think it's okay for you to now go ahead and just speak up and say, oh, I think I have feelings towards you. And if that happens, no, I'm serious. And if that happens, if you're bold enough to do that, see, have the mind, or let me say, have the chest, like Nigerians would say, to accept rejection. Because I've spoken with women that shot their shots because of me, because I claimed I shot my shot and they went ahead. Some of them did not, you know, do wisdom, which I eventually corrected them. And they didn't, like, they were so hurt to get rejected. I was like, the same way you can say no to a guy that asks you out, it's the same way a guy can say no to you. All right, so if you've chosen to take that bold step, please, be bold to the end. Be bold enough, have the chest to collect the rejection. So, okay, yes.
So, when I was having this conversation with my husband, he was like, under no circumstances should a woman shoot her shot, right? So, he was very, so he said that he believes that shot shooting is a woman like outrightly asking a man out, which is why I was like, okay, I think we should like talk about what does it really mean. So is there a difference between short shooting and like just trying to, you know, position yourself? Because he was saying that he thinks it's more wise to sort of just give like a green light to the guy, like, oh, I'm ready and you can come, as opposed to like taking that lead, you know, and being like, because he was like, men are the ones that are supposed to go and find a wife. It's not supposed to be a woman going to find a husband, so to speak. So
he has a fair point, because he has a fair point. And one thing, like I said earlier, one thing I always lean towards the side of a woman doing it with wisdom, right? Positioning yourself. But positioning yourself is also a type of short shooting. Like, it's still under the umbrella, right? That's why it takes a lot of boldness for you to say, oh, I like you. For a woman to say, I like it to a man, right? I always lean towards, you know, positioning yourself. That's why I said, for you to even go as far as telling a guy you like him, maybe you already have that friendship, already built that rapport, right? So, yeah, I actually agree with your husband.
You think that if a woman is like, you know, the one that is like, oh, I really like you, it kind of makes the man like lax. Because I feel like that's something that happens. Like, you know, the guy might now feel like, am I really the one that chased this woman, or did she just drag me? I don't know if you already get what I'm trying to say. Like,
I totally get you.
Yeah.
When I tell people, okay, position yourself, but at the same time, make sure that you see this guy putting in the work as well. Make sure you see the guy putting in the work as well. It's not just you initiating the phone calls, initiating the chats. You know, it's not just you taking the front row all the time. Make sure you see
the guy chasing the man.
Exactly. Yes. So there are two types of guys. The guys that will just, you know, it's ill to them when you approach them and ask them out, they'll just, you know, just run away from you. And then another set of guys is the people that. The people that you know, you shoot your shot and then just relax and just let you do everything, and they just make you look like, oh, you know, you're the one that came for me, why are you forcing me to do anything? So if you shoot your shots, make sure you see the guy putting in the work as well. If you don't see that, talk to him about it. If after talking it doesn't change, then please walk out. All right, so
okay. So we have a few questions here. I'm just going to go over all of these questions. So the first one is, how can men approach women better? So I think the reason why like many women are taking matters into their own hands is that men tend to be a bit slow, right? Like even if they like a girl, they might just be dragging their feet or they're sending like weird signals and are just like, you know what, I'm just going to take matters into my hands and I'm just going to be like this. Now wait. So I want you to think about this and answer this as a godly woman, not as a Nigerian woman, as a godly woman. Yes, I want to take time and be like, okay,
remember it happened with my husband and I. Before we started dating, we were sitting in talking stage and it was just here and there. I'm just like, what's going on? Maybe because I'm just a bold person. I don't know. But I sent him a message and I said, oh, what's going on? Because like we had been talking, you don't talk to someone for this long. You don't stay consistent with one person for this long and then like you're still here and there. So I just called him out on it. I'm like, oh, this is signal I've gotten off our conversation so far. So like, what exactly is going on? Why are you acting this way? What exactly do you want from me? Where are we headed? And I think it's very important to ask these questions. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's by the way. So back to the main question, right? How would I advise men, or how do I think men should approach checking ladies?
Because, I can remember talking once, I think with my, you know, brother. I can't remember who I was talking with, but he was telling me how like men genuinely sometimes do not know how to talk to women.
I agree with you. So there was one case that my husband and I had to deal with. We literally had to just give this person movies to watch. Some people are literally, no, people are genuinely clueless. If I did not know this person and I only knew the girl, I would have thought this guy was a monster. I would have thought it was a monster. It was just a wicked person. But knowing him and knowing that he's genuinely just clueless, we had to just tell him, you know what, watch this movie, read this book. Right? Someone else, he said his favorite movie, his favorite series was... oh my God, I can't remember. It was just on Jesus ancient movie. So that like there are things that you need to expose yourself to even know how to go about these things. Right? And I think many people don't do that. Actually, let me not say especially Christian brothers. So it doesn't look like I'm attacking them. But most times when I've encountered this is actually with Christian brothers, right? So that aside, go on dates, communicate your intentions. Stop waiting for... So some people have the idea that, oh, they have to wait for a specific period of time, right? I've seen cases where someone said he wanted the talking stage to last for 6 months. And I'm like, okay, if... I'm like, no, it's okay. Some people actually agree and want to get to know each other for that long, which is fine. I'm not the one. So I'm not going to
give any promise of, like, dating or anything.
Issue exactly without the promise of dating. My own issue, no, let's even leave that. If he's just promise, not without promise of dating, it's okay. This guy was like, okay, he has not even made his intentions known to this person. You know, there's a way you say, okay, I like you, and then from there, you get to know this person. That's why I know a stalking stage, right? You like this person, you're trying to get to know the person to make an informed decision, all right, on whether or not you can date this person or not. But that you've not even communicated to this person that, oh, I like you. You're just expecting the person to read the room. It's not going to happen. I remember when someone did that with me. That was before I met my husband. In fact, it was right before I met my husband. I was still talking to this guy. You didn't define it. You didn't see anything. And I didn't want to be the one to make, you know, that move. So I met my husband and that was the end of it. It was after a while. Of course, I knew the guy likes me, but I was very intentional about not being the one to make the move the first time. It was after a while. I think I was already engaged to my husband then, that the friend of the person that I used to talk to, Nakin Smith, now was like, oh, this guy was really heartbroken, that he really liked me. I'm like, okay, honest question. One question, did he tell me? Did he make his intentions known to me? So just make your intentions known. It will save you from a whole lot, because most times you see that some ladies are not even interested, you know, in these guys. They're just looking for a companion to talk to. They just see you as a friend. So you save you a whole lot. Just make your intentions known.
Yeah. I think many people, you know, we're not necessarily, you know, attacking Christian people, you know, but we are in that circle and we just tend to see this a lot. You know, sometimes I'm very hesitant to say certain things because I don't want it to sound like maybe I don't believe in God or I don't love God or maybe I'm, you know, carnal, like how they say it, you know. But sometimes I think people, you know, forget that if this dating leads to marriage, or hopefully this dating leads to marriage, you're going to be living with a very real person. And I think that's the reason why many marriages are failing, because when people, like, first of all, start out, they are very, they are not forthcoming or acting like human beings. There's very much a, like, oh, sister, isn't it? How are you doing? God. Yeah, God sent me this word for you. Here is the word for the day. Oh, there's this fellowship meeting. Come to this fellowship meeting. But without asking things like, oh, what do you think about this certain world issue? What do you think about raising children like this, this, this? What do you think about, do you have anywhere that you want to travel? How?
Yeah, you don't even invite this person out on a date. You only invite them to the
program. Yes, you don't go out, you know, with them, see them in other settings, see them with other, you know, people. And then when you now eventually end up with this, you know, person, you guys now start having issues because it's like,
you never really, because you now realize that relationship is actually beyond, oh, what did you learn in church today?
Exactly. So I've heard like a lot of people talk about how it's hard for them to get to know Christian brothers and sisters because those Christian brothers and sisters are not willing to allow their personality shine through. Everything is just, God bless you. Oh, there's this fellowship. So why do you think certain, let me say, guys act in that way or certain women act in that way?
Why do I think that? Because they don't know better. Mm. I think it's as simple as that. You only know as much as you expose yourself to. Like I said, you only know as much as you expose yourself to. Most of these people don't even have a social life. Hangouts, go to places, just expose yourself.
Yeah, I think when we're saying that people should be, you know, social, it can, you know, incite fear for some, you know, people. They might feel like social. So are you saying I should go to parties? Or are you saying I should, you know, go to this and that? You know, but when I think about some of the things that my husband and I did, you know, before we got married, I can see what exactly you are saying. Because I met my husband, funny enough, I met him at the worship event that I hosted. So we did meet in like a Christian setting, you know, so to speak. But there was this fellowship that my husband was leading that I used to go to. And after that, you know, fellowship, we'd share food, we'd eat, we'd laugh, people would talk. So I feel like that was the first place I was able to see him in a social setting, you know, talking to other people, eating, talking, this and that. And I noticed that after the, you know, meeting, he wants to drop, you know, people off. Like, so I was just observing him and I was able to get to know him because he was letting his personality shine through. So I think it just makes me very sad whenever I hear people saying that, oh, somebody is just really just like, the Lord told me today, the Lord did that tomorrow, like, you know, have you heard that the Lord? And I'm just like, yes, I love God, like, I, you know, and I'm just hoping that somebody will not, you know, listen to this and be like, these two canal girls are claiming to be Christians, you know, because it can sound like, what else is there to talk about if it's not God? But it's like you live in a very real world with very real people, and it's just to interact on like a physical level as well. Okay, so I think my next question is, do you think Christians have unreasonable expectations of or for the person they should date or marry?
Answer will be yes. My answer will be yes, because when I answer questions like this, I like to think of examples or situations I've actually tackled. It wasn't even me directly. It was me and my husband. The person reached out and was like, oh, so the person got married expecting that, oh, it's just going to be prayer. So for like, just as you praying, I was like, there's more to life than prayer is important.
Yeah,
people think you are canal lady.
Prayer is important. Yes, it is.
Prayer is important, but you're not going to be praying with your partner 24/7. So a lot of people marry with that expectation. That's one side. We are married people, but I don't know if we're allowed to talk about the other side. There was
Yeah.
another case that okay, yes, I'm going to mention three different cases. This second one, he married the lady because she's the choir mistress in church,
That
like the
was
choir leadership. That was, I won't say that's the only reason, but that was like the major reason.
wow.
Oh, she sings so beautifully. Oh, her voice. Oh, they say it was majorly about her voice and, you know, just that melodious sound. I'm like, okay, now that you are married, you just want that, like, you just want to be, it's not possible. She can't be singing 24/7.
Thing.
I think those are the areas that I've seen people expect like way too much from their partners. I'm just like, you're forgetting at the end of the day, this person is a human being.
Yeah.
Or you marry a pastor, for example, and you're expecting him to just be perfect on all fronts. Possible. This person is a human being. This person has flaws at the
Yeah.
end of the day. So you have to understand that you're marrying this person. You're not just marrying a pastor, you're marrying him as a human being as well. And you have to just accept all of that. Stop expecting too much of people. They are human beings, they have flaws.
Yeah,
So yes.
I like that, so much, because I think when I was getting ready to date and to get married, I don't think this was a conversation I was really hearing, because I think story or the teaching that I was really getting, at that time was, okay, if you're ready to get married, the person that you're marrying has to be a photocopy of Jesus. Like Jesus, that's the person that you should be getting married to. He shouldn't be tired. Like, he just shouldn't just have any flaws. He should just be perfectly perfect.
Perfect.
And so when we started dating, and then I started seeing some flaws in my husband, I think I'm, comfortable enough to, share this one. So my husband wasn't exactly the most sensitive person when we started dating, if I say something like, oh, I don't really want to do this, his answer will not be nice. That's just the bottom line. And I used to wonder, is this guy not a Christian? Like, because you imagine that he would just be like, oh, my sweet angel. Like, I don't know what other people are thinking, but that's what I was thinking, that he would just have a perfect mood, he would have a perfect temper. And it's so crazy that we are not perfect. Like, we who is dating the person, we're not
Expect
perfect.
other people to
Yes, but
be.
we're expecting the person that we're going to end up with to be perfect. And I remember when I, went to God, and I was like, ah, oh, God, at the point I was fighting God, because I felt like God was always taking his side, like every time, like there's an argument, but it was that God was trying to show me that you are too quick to point outwards. Like, you're too quick to say, oh, see the other person, see the other person. Like, what about you? Like,
About
what
you.
do you think needs to change in your own life, also? And just, I think when I was even able to make just room for him to be a human being, I think that was when we really started to enjoy, each other, because it's so easy to pick on each other's faults or flaws. Like, you do this, you do that. Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Yeah, that's like, ah, am I even sure this is the person that God said I should be with? And all
Stop
of that.
questioning everything.
Exactly. Am I really sure? So sometimes when I hear young Christian girls speak, and also because people are typically posting the good things or the good sides or talking about their spouse in a lofty manner, the expectations can be really high. It can just be,
Yeah.
I'm not settling for no kind. Yeah.
Isn't you're very right. You're
Yeah.
very right. Of course, like people will know, I will record the sweet moments. I'll post the sweet moments. But when I'm quarreling with my husband, you just want me to bring
Wow.
out my phone and start recording. And then I get DMs like that, and people start
Wow.
complaining, oh, you know, my partner is this. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with your partner. Your partner is a human
Yes.
being. Talk to your
Yeah.
partner, resolve this issue. Like, you
Yeah.
people will quarrel. That's why the Bible says you forgive them how many times.
Yeah.
So it's not an easy fix. It's not an easy journey. It's a beautiful journey. It's not always going to be easy. It requires forgiveness. It requires, you know, understanding, a lot of understanding. And I just try to tell people that, see, as much as I post, you know, beautiful stuff, my husband and I have disagreements. We have arguments, all right? But of course, I'm not going to put that out there, all right?
Yeah.
And the reason we post beautiful things out there is not to show you that, oh, marriage does not have, you know, rough patches or those rocky parts, but it's just to show you that. Is to encourage you basically that amidst all of that, like you still stand strong. So
Yes.
like I constantly tell people that, like I post, you see people posting beautiful stuff, does not mean they don't go through life, they don't go through tough things. We go through these things, we are going through these things, but we're just showing you that amidst these things, like, you can still be happy, your marriage can still show forth, you know, between Christ and the church. And it's actually very important.
You know, like, times I've posted, like, me and my husband on my, you know, YouTube channel, and, you know, some guys will be in my DM saying, wow, do you have a sister, or do you have somebody else that is like you? And those comments always make me laugh, because it's the idea that I'm somehow an, you know, ideal wife, because they are not living with me. Just like that. So the person that is living with me knows what it's like to be. So sometimes I'm just always like, the grass is greener where you are watering it, to be very honest. Mm-hmm. It's not somebody else's, or, oh, if only I cut this person before that other person cut this person. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember, oh my goodness, this is so good. I can remember when I started dating my husband, he was just being a man. There was nothing strange about him, but because I was expecting, I don't know what I was expecting, so I was so upset. I remember, because thank God I pray about everything, right? So I went to God, like, this man, I don't know what to do, like, I'm so tired. And of course, God was silent. I didn't hear anything at first, so I carried on with my life. And the next day, I was listening to a sermon. Apostle Selma was talking about God's blessings, and he said, when God promises you something, He gives it to you as a seed with a hole and plenty of grace. So you have to start cultivating that thing that you want to see. And I just knew in the moment that God had spoken to me, like, it hit me. I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, God was just basically telling me, you want apple tree, start planting apple tree. Like, don't go somewhere and, like, you know, go to the market and say, who is selling, you know, apple tree? You can only buy seeds and take it to your, you know, house and plant it. Yes, you can't go to the market and buy, you know, apple tree. And so it can be so easy to see someone's tree growing and be like, ah, where in the market can I find this apple tree? Like, not knowing that somebody has
not the process exactly not building this thing.
Exactly. But now that we're talking about this, you know, somebody else might say, oh, so maybe this guy punching me is not so bad. Maybe I just need to cultivate, you know, his character. So what are some red flags? Like, once you see that, you're just like, absolutely not. Like, absolutely not.
You mentioned one already. When someone is physically abusive, a serial cheat. Why is it serial cheat? Is because when someone cheats on you once, you can. Okay, this is a very dicey topic.
Yeah.
Because it's very every situation is unique, right? So I don't like to generalize this issue.
Yeah.
But why I say serial cheat is because it's not. I've seen situations where I particularly have, you know, a friend where this guy cheated on her, I think when they were still dating, and everyone was telling them to break up. Maybe because I knew both of them separately, and I knew they're like amazing individuals, and I knew the circumstances surrounding, you know, what happened. So I just told them, you know what, you might still end up going your separate ways, but instead of going your separate ways first, seek professional help. Talk to a counselor, talk to a therapist or something, and see how it goes. I'm proud that they're still together and they are very happy together, all right? But I was very excited. If this thing happens once, like, just one more time, you still go your separate way. So that's another toxic, that's another red flag. Another red flag is, and it's not always about cheating or abuse. Sometimes it's reminds me of one guy I was talking to before I met my husband. One of the guys I was, you know, talking to before I met my husband, I shared a very we like call it a secret, but like a vulnerable moment. It's not something I would generally share with anyone. I think maybe three people know this happened to me. And, you know, having, you know, been friends with this guy, you know, he's a good person, I'm like, okay, this might be headed somewhere. I shared this thing with this guy, and he made it a point of duty. I kid you not, in less than 1 week, he reminded me of this about 10 times. Oh my God, your eyes. Like that last time, I said, this is over. Whatever it is going on, whatever is going on here, I'm done with it. And I blocked him right. I said, don't bother texting me. Don't bother calling me. I'm not angry with you. I'm just done. Like, I can't have you remind me of, you know, this traumatic experience that I had just because I shared with you. Mm-hmm. So I blocked the guy, and that was the end. So that's another red flag. Some people make it a point of duty to just push you down, constantly push you down and make you feel low. Right. Mm-hmm. That's a red flag.
What about in women? What would you say are some red flags in women?
In women.
Because, you know,
people that constantly
can be very quick to say it's the men that have the issues, but sometimes
it's the women. I agree with you. I agree with you. One came to mind now. I've seen. I'm trying to how to frame this story. Okay, this guy came and was like, "Oh, is there something wrong with him?" I said, "What happened?" He said, "This girl that he's talking to, in fact, they were dating at that time. Yeah, they're already dating. So this girl that is dating wants him to be responsible for everything financial in her life, like everything that happened, finance." She's traveling, going for maybe her parents, maybe a birthday or her friend's wedding or something. She doesn't even make efforts to be responsible financially for her own, you know, expenses. She doesn't try to pay for anything by herself. She doesn't try to chip in. She just wants to be, basically, she's a financial burden. And that is a huge red flag. And I've seen it because I think that's one thing I've seen more often than not. In fact, too often, women just wanting their perception or the ideology they have of having men in their lives is just for the men to be responsible for them financially. I've seen it way too much.
But what do you think makes men believe that men need to be 100% taken care of? Yeah.
I think it's just society.
You know, I think sometimes it may also be if your father did it for you.
Exactly, your father did it for you, or father did it for your mom. See, yeah. I've seen people. I don't know. I think it's just society, more of society, because I've seen people where you can tell that their mother was not a financial burden. She was responsible financially, but it's just that society has molded our mentality even more than we know, more than we actually realize. A lot of people I know are aware. You know, you go on an app like Twitter, and then you see women feeling entitled, or people posting, you know, my husband doesn't let me do this, my boyfriend doesn't let me do this, and you just say, okay, this is how a man should be. That has already molded your ideology, or basically molded your ideology on how a man should be. So when a man is not doing those things, he's come to you. So yes, I think that is one major thing. And of course, I think another red flag when it comes to women is also when a woman is excessively jealous. I think this actually cuts across both genders, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's of course, see, jealousy is very important in relationship. if you have a partner that is not jealous, something is wrong.
Yeah.
That's something my pastor Irene will always say. Jealousy is healthy. There's healthy jealousy, but there's also the unhealthy one where you know you're on your phone, maybe chatting or just placing your phone, and then she just collects your phone and just say, hey, you're talking to a woman, right? Who is the woman you're talking to? Or she's just always, when you get back from work, the first thing she's doing is going through your phone. It's a red flag. It's a huge red flag. That's not cute. I'm sorry, it's not cute anyway. It's very unhealthy, and it's a huge red flag. If you can't trust the person you're with, there's no point of being with the person.
I think another red flag I would say for women, because I think we've spoken about the men enough. So I think another red flag I would say for women is that some of them believe that they don't have to change, that they are perfect. I don't know what it is about women. You can't correct a woman. I am a woman, so I'm saying this like fully. If a man should say like,
oh. it takes the Holy Spirit convincing you that, or just reminding you that you're wrong.
Like, it can really be like, how dare you say I'm not perfect? Oh, that must mean that you are seeing other perfect women, right? Or that must mean you have your eyes outside. Like, it's very possible. Like, we're having this conversation the other day, you know. Me and my brother, and he asked a very valid question. He said, why can't men tell women when like they have added
something wrong?
Why is that a problem? Why is that a problem? And I was actually thinking about it on like a logical plane, like actually, why can't somebody come to you and say, oh, I think you've put on weight, I think you need to lose weight? Because women can say that to men. I feel like women say to men all the time, you are broke, you don't have any money, get out of my sight. Like, women just you know,
but what becomes a man commenting on you or anything that pertains to you is an issue.
It's like
I think that's society's problem. That's not that society's problem, because you go on social media and just a girl can comment on a guy's and say how bold you are, you're so skinny, you're so that, and then nobody's attacking her. But once a woman, once a man comes out to come and say, oh, I think you've gained a little bit of weight, is an issue.
Yeah.
Right. So I think society has already molded. That's not how the society has molded. So you're right, isn't it? Yeah, because I'm guilty. I think my husband actually, it was a few months ago. We're talking and then he was like, oh, there's something he's been wanting to say, but he doesn't know I'm going to take it. I'm just like, ah, what do you mean? Talk to me. Talk to me. You know, it's not me. You're my partner. This is me. I think he now reminded me of one time he said something that I think was a comment on my body. I can't even remember. To be honest, I didn't even remember. That reminded me about my reaction. I realized that sometimes I can be stubborn and then... Yeah. It's actually a woman thing. Like, we just don't want to take the correction. Yeah. And he said, I literally just went the other direction. When he reminded me about how the conversation went, and I remember that, oh my God, why did I even react this way? You know, in retrospect, God was actually cute.
Yeah, I think it's something that I had to learn with my husband, because there was a time he had to tell me, like, you know, sometimes I'm scared to say what I'm really thinking because I don't know how you react.
I'm scared
because I don't know how you're going to do it. I started feeling very bad because I was like, wow, imagine if like a, you know, woman were to come out and say, I can't tell my husband or my, you know, what do you call it, fiance, that something he does I don't like, everybody will say, ah, red flag, leave that place. But when it comes to women, we feel like, eh, why should the man correct me, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just speaking to my ladies and to my women, please be humble. Like, I don't know why women have full of pride, but please just be humble and be open to, like, listening to, like...
correction.
Yeah.
I let the Holy Spirit work in you, because I know it can be tough, you know, when you're used to, you know, behaving a certain way, and then someone comes and tells you... stop, he's not attacking you. Your husband loves you, your partner loves you, and they want to see you be better, become the best version of yourself. So just learn to accept that and genuinely work on yourself.
Yeah. I think another red flag I would say in women is that, you know, it still boils down to the same thing about women not feeling like there's anything wrong with them. But I just think that this is what I've seen as a, you know, pattern. Like, some women will be like, oh, they're trying so hard to, like, get a guy or to be a certain kind of person. And then once they get into the marriage, or once the person marries them, goodbye braids, goodbye fine clothes. It's like, I've won and I'm okay now. I'm now married and, you know, all of that. And they just let, you know, themselves go. Like, I'm so happy to see you in braids and see you looking nice and, you know, everything. I know that it takes an extra effort, right? But when I got married, like, one of the things that I made up my mind was that I'm going to put in that extra effort for my spouse, because if I'm going to go out, I'm going to put in that extra effort for people that I don't even know.
I don't know.
That extra effort. I'm going to dress up. I'm going to do my hair. I'm going to do my brows. So even if
this important.
Exactly. My husband is the most important person in the world. I must put in that effort for him and make sure that, oh, he's always happy to see me and he's always happy to be, you know, around me. So I just think women, just in general, there should be that habit of looking inward to say, what can I do better and how can I, you know, keep on getting better and better.
Okay. Be specific. Stop tying wrapper around the house. That's actually my biggest ick. Oh my gosh. I hate it so much. Anyway, thank you so much. That's actually an important point. Very, very important. Very important.
So what would you say are some green flags in men and women? Like, what is something you see and you're like, oh yeah, this is good?
Okay. We talk about red flags a lot. We talk about red flags way too much. Okay. How your partner treats you.
Yeah.
It's so important. It's so, like, how does this person treat you? How do they talk to you? Do they respect you? Do they regard your opinion highly? Like, even if no matter how, I don't want to use the word irrelevant. I don't want to use the word dumb. Like, no matter how lowly or how low you even think your opinion is, like, do they even consider it when they make a decision? Do they come to you to seek your guidance or your counsel when they want to make an important decision in their life or anything that pertains to, you know, their life. I think that's a green flag. That's something to watch out for. This person's, I'm going to talk about money again. This person's, how do they treat money? Because I think that's one thing people don't talk about enough. Money is such an important, like, I've seen marriages fail because of this particular thing. How does this person treat money? Do they have a healthy relationship with money? Do they invest? Do they save? You know, all those things are important, because when you get married, it's no longer their problem. It becomes your problem as well, because you're one. So watch out for this person's relationship with money. You know, if someone loves money too much, I think that's another red flag that, you know, you know, this person loves money too much. What's their mindset about money? Yeah. What's their relationship with money? Watch out for that.
Can I just please?
And yeah, friend. Okay.
When it comes to money, right, there are two extremes, right? There are the people that... Hello?
God. I can't hear you clearly.
Yeah, I don't know what just happened. Okay, there are two, you know, extremes. There are the people that love money too much, and then there are the people who act like money is not really, you know, necessary. Right? So I feel like people that love money too much, when you see them, run away from them. That's what I feel. Because scripture says that the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of every kind of evil. And people, because of this, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So that's the reason why people will say, like, if I hear somebody say, I can do anything for money, goodbye. I don't even need to be around that type of person, because the next thing, if they tell you, bring the person, you know, closest to you,
twice.
Do you understand? So I'm just like, no, I'm not even going to be there. Mm-hmm. There are people who say, why, you know, you like talking about money. Why are you talking about money? Money is not that deep. Are you not a, you know, kingdom-minded person? I feel like that person too is a red flag.
Red flag. Yes. So just run.
I don't know.
We have to be balanced.
Lazy, would not work, would not, you know, do the things that are necessary to make sure that you have a life that doesn't bring God shame. You know, I remember when I was reading, I think it was Ecclesiastes, there was a beautiful verse that I read. It said, God, do not give me too much money so that I do not, you know, get proud and curse you. And don't give me too little so I will not steal and bring shame to your name. Because I think, you know, sometimes people think that there's some glory to be found in, like, poverty, like,
but they call it humility. They see it as something humble, like,
exactly. But I believe God wants us to have enough and to be content with what that we have, you know. So I just wanted to come in there to just say, please, money, just keep money where money should actually be, which is needed to get things done. So just keep it there. Like, yeah, go on, you're paying friends.
Yes, that's actually very important. What other red flag can I think of?
Green. Talking about green flags.
Sorry, green. Oh my God. What other green flag can I think of? How they treat other people.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. God knows I will not be with someone that treat me nicely and treat other people badly. It's only a matter of time before they actually bring it to, you know, to you as well. So yeah, how they treat other people is very important. I can't think of anything, any other green flag.
Like women, I would say a green flag, well, not just in women, but both in men, is someone that is understanding. You know, you mentioned something about, you know, someone that is able to come to ask you for, you know, counsel. I think it's one thing to have someone who asks you for counsel. It's another thing to have someone who listens to your, you know, counsel. Because I think many men have also wrecked their lives by not listening to the counsel of their wives, you know, thinking that their wives, who is this one to be telling me, you know, all these things, and then they end up losing lots of money or just doing something stupid. So I think having someone who listens, having somebody who is understanding, I can't tell you, like, I feel like one of the reasons why I love my husband so much, why I honor him so much, is because my husband is such an understanding person. Like, not that he will make, you know, room for my sins or if I'm not doing something right, but he will say, I can see why this is happening, and these are the things that I think you should do. Like, kindness is so great. I don't believe in no matter how angry me and my husband are, we've never said to each other, you are stupid. Like, that has never happened. You know, like, you are stupid, or, you know, get out, or just all these words, like, you know. Exactly. So somebody who is polite, who is an, you know, honorable person, both male and female, because sometimes when I even see the way certain men talk to their wives in public, I die just a little on the inside. Yeah. One time we had gone out and there was this man at the checkout counter. He spoke to his wife in such a way he spoke to her. I was just so, then he turned to me and said, oh, good afternoon, ma'am. Like, no, don't even do that. Like, how can you dishonor your wife? Then you want to now act like you're an honorable person to another woman, to another man's wife. Do you understand? Like, no, keep that energy inside and outside. Like, don't have it only for people outside. So I think if you have somebody that is talking down on you or making you, you know, you've already said it, someone that's making you feel, you know, lesser than, you know. So yeah, thank you very much, lady.
I think another, okay, this, I don't know if this is a green, okay, I think it's more of a red flag, actually, that I think it's very important that we did not mention, is how that, I think this cuts across both genders as well, where this person expects you to be exactly like their father, or expects you to be exactly like their mother. Oh my God. Like,
or even exactly like them. You see a woman that is a particular kind of way, you now want to take her and mold her into another thing. Like, and I've heard some Christian women say, oh, you're washing her with the water of the body. It's like, that's not how to wash somebody to the point that the person themselves vanishes. Like, you wash them till they don't even exist anymore. You know, so yeah, I think that one is good. Someone who is trying to make you like their mother, their father, or like themselves.
I mean, it's not a bad thing to want your partner to be like someone you admire, but just pick out characteristics or
certain qualities.
Yeah, certain qualities. Like, you can't expect, like, I grew up differently. I'm a human being, I have a mind of my own. You're expecting to be exactly like your mother or your father, you know. So we are two different people from different generations, in fact. All right. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that's actually so good, because I think that is what causes so many, you know, problems. Oh, my mom used to cook every Sunday.
She got fresh food.
Fresh food every day, all those type of things. Or, you know, women that are like, oh, my dad was giving me, you know, pocket money every day, was giving me 500,000, not knowing that your father is a man of 60 years old and you're talking to a man of 30 something. It's like, how do you want a man of 30 something? So I just think, you know, there's, at the end of the day, it still boils down to these things that we're saying, kindness. When you choose to be kind to your partner, or to your husband, to your wife, like, it makes a whole world of difference.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so before we leave, right, I want to ask this last one. How can somebody, like in this case now, avoid being strung along? I've heard some Christian people call it being kept in the waiting room. You know, it's like somebody has not made up their mind about you and they are hot today, they are cold tomorrow, they are blowing like this, they are blowing like that. Like, how can you, like, make sure that those type of things are not happening to you? Like, you are not, you know, ending up in that kind of, you know, situation.
Just learn to address it. Because some people, in a bid to not want to jump from, you know, too many relationships to another, one relationship to another, or being too many relationships before choosing, you know, the one, want to give excuse for, you know, their partner behaving the way they are behaving. If your partner is hot today, cold tomorrow, or you can't even, in fact, their mood depends on the weather of the day. Or the time of the day. I think it's a red flag. But of course, one thing I always advise is, before you go ahead to, you know, break up, learn to address the situation with this person. And if the person is not exactly understanding, because some people don't even know they are doing something wrong. Mm. That's one thing I realize. Some people don't even know that what they are doing is wrong. Mm. All right. So if they don't even understand,
now bring it up, right? And that person is like, and we're just friends. Like, let's, you know, I'm still, I need time or something like that.
Give the person a timeline.
Mm.
give the person a timeline. No problem. It's fine that you want to think about this thing. It's fine that you want to have enough headspace or have enough time to thank you. My husband just brought me water. How sweet.
Wow.
Thank you. So it's okay that you want to have that time to think. It's very okay. But I'm sorry, I can't wait forever. You've taken forever already. I can't wait for another eternity. So I'm giving you 1 month. I'm giving you 2 weeks for you to make up your mind. If they still can make up their mind at that time, then I think it's best for you to move on. Because at the end of the day, another red flag just popped in my head. I think it's a red flag when you have someone who cannot, who wants to take forever to make a decision that important. All right, because dating, being in a relationship, going into marriage involves a lot of decision making. So you want someone that is up there. I don't know the exact word to use, but you want someone that doesn't take like a lifetime to come up with a decision or make an important decision. So yeah, I think that's it. And I was saying earlier that if this person doesn't know what they're even doing is wrong, you can seek counsel as well. And if that doesn't work out, it's just best for you to, you know, leave that person, leave that relationship, or leave that talking stage.
There was something you mentioned when you were speaking. You said before you finally decided this person is the one. And I know that your husband has written a book about finding the one.
Yes. I have this right here.
Yes, In Pursuit of the One. So make sure you guys go and find the book and buy it. The book is, you know, amazing, awesome book. I've actually read it. So I want to ask you now, do you believe that there's anything like the one?
I want to read your husband's book. Just give me a minute, please.
Yeah.
He says, is there such a thing as soulmates? Mm-hmm. Which I think that's what we refer to as the one.
Yeah.
I said, some people use the Bible reference of, God made Eve out of Adam and all of that. And that was the only time we see that happen in the Bible, right? And in throughout the Bible, we never saw anyone asking God or looking for a soulmate. And there was actually no advice in the Bible that asks or encourages people to look for a perfect match or a soulmate. So I think his conclusion is that what we see in the Bible is that the popular idea of soulmates isn't something you find, but something you build. You are to work on becoming the soulmate of whoever you end up getting married to. So is there such a thing as soulmates or the one? The answer is no. The answer is no. All right. You only become the soulmate of whoever you end up with as, you know, your husband or your wife. And what that means is, I think that's actually... that actually buries the mentality or the ideology or the idea that there's just one person for me out there. There is no one single person for, isn't it? I'm sure you met other people before you met your husband. You probably dated other people or at least one person before you met your husband and it didn't work out. All right. So having that idea that is just...
I'm just telling my own.
Having that idea that is just one, there's just that one person
for
you out there. My, you know, end up making you stay in the wrong relationship. It might end up just making you accept all the rubbish that God do not have you accept. All right. So no, there's no such thing as that one person for you out there. You're only the soulmate of who you end up with. I am my husband's soulmate. You are your husband's soulmate because you've already become one. So I think that is as clear as click on.
So, I don't believe that there is only one person that you're supposed to be with, that if you don't end up with that person, your whole life is ruined.
Life comes to an end.
However, I do believe that God does pick our spouses, right?
Exactly. And I think it doesn't mean that you can marry just anyone.
No. I believe that there's someone that is best suited for you to be with, right? Reason why I, you know, believe this is because God relates with us as a father. And in Jewish culture, typically, we see that children are not the ones that go hunting for their spouses. It's the father that, decides that, okay, I think you are ready for, marriage. And I found this, family. I think that this, family, this boy, this girl is great. And the fathers are the ones that, arrange that, meeting. And also just based on my personal experience, like you were saying, I met a number of people that on paper it looked like, oh, these people are good, or this and that. But when I took it to God in prayer, God was saying, trust me, I know what it is that I am doing, and I know who it is that I have for you, because I know the plan that I have for you. So I've heard people say, I've heard all the different sides of the, argument. I've even heard people say that God has given you brain, that your brain, God has given you a brain and giving you the tools that you need to pick the right person. And when I hear those things, it tends to make me just wonder at the pride in man's heart to think that your brain can tell you who will be with you when you have cancer, or your brain can tell you who will be with you if you lose all of your money, or if you lose, because if God is the God of our past and our present and our future, only He knows who is best suited to journey with us through that. No, because I've seen people that married somebody that seemed like they were a good Christian, and 10 years into the marriage, the person says, I'm not a Christian anymore. I don't even, believe in this God, and the marriage, scatters. But at the point where you picked the person, you believe that this person was it, and the person, aligns for your purpose or your path. But somewhere, along, the person is like, I don't think I'm really cut out for this whole spirituality. I'm out, and then that's just, the end. So I just think that at the end of the day, like, God will relate with us in terms of marriage in the way that we typically relate with Him, just in general. So there are some people that believe, why should you pray to God for a job? Apply for a job and go and work if you need to work. Well, there are some other people that may say, if God doesn't tell me go to this office, I'm not going to work there. So I just think that that's how it is.
Okay, I agree with you, and I don't agree with you at the same time. Because I think a better way to word it, or how I always say it, is that God is not a forceful God that will choose who to be
Pause.
with. God chooses with us. He doesn't choose for us. That is the table. That's the table I sit on. That God chooses with us. He doesn't choose for us. Because at the end of the day, if I'm going to choose who to marry, I'm going to choose with God's approval, right? Before I said yes to even date my husband, even with the fact that he's a pastor, I talked to God about it. I'm like, okay, because obviously some things were not adding up. I'm just like, okay, God, I was just ranting to God, just ranting to him. I remember I was on the toilet seat that day when I was just talking and just talking and talking, talking, talking to God. And then he told me, a lot of things. And I remember one of the things he told me, he said, go ahead. He said, I will take care of you, So, and my husband always laughs at me that why did I even take forever to even tell him yes? I'm just like, because I needed, to make the decision with God, right? And yes, as much as I agree with you, at the same time, I feel like when we look through God's word, for a perfect example in the Bible as well, I can't remember. Anyway, I'm looking for a perfect example in the Bible, and I think okay, another example is Boaz and Ruth. Boaz saw Ruth actually, like he saw her heart and he saw her, what she had given up, staying with Naomi after her husband had even died, staying with her husband, staying with her mother-in-law, just helping her and working hard and all of that. And my point here is he saw that, oh, this person is a good woman, she's kind. And when we look through the Bible, we see different cases like that where a man chooses his wife or a partner based on, oh, a kind thing that this woman has done, or just, oh, this man is a good person, right? So God has shown us that example, right? So he has indirectly or directly told us, or indirectly tells us that, okay, this is what to look out for in a partner. And he tells us, oh, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So we know better than to marry an unbeliever. That's why I say that that God doesn't choose for us, He chooses with us. So yeah, that's actually the table I sit on.
I feel you. I feel you. You know, what I was also thinking about was Isaac and Rebecca, right?
Rebecca,
That
exactly right. So when she
Abraham
was with.
sent his servants to go and get her, and you know, all of that. And when he met with her, he had said a prayer before she, you know, came out. And when she came out and did, you know, everything, he said, "Oh, beautiful, this is the person that God has chosen." You know, blah blah blah. They went in. Now, when he told the family that, you know, Abraham asked me to find somebody from his, you know, family, from his tribe. I prayed, and this girl lined up with, you know, everything, with the prayer, with the thing that the, you know, master said that he wanted. They were all like, "Oh wow, this is wonderful." Rebecca was called in and asked, "Do you want to go with this man?" So yes, God doesn't force anyone
Yes.
on us that, like, "Oh, you must. This person that I have chosen, whether you like him or not, go ahead
You
and
go.
do this ahead." So that's not what I'm saying either, right? But what I'm saying is that I do believe that God can say, like, "Ah, we need to have watched you, and I believe that this person lines perfectly with where it is that you're going." And God offers you that choice to make. Of course, nobody
Exactly.
grabbed me by my neck to go with my husband and say, "I said you must marry him, otherwise this, that, and that." But I could have said, "Ah, God, you know, I don't want this man, blah blah, and someone else would come." And to be honest, I don't know what that would have looked like, or what that would have, you know, played out as. But I know without a shadow of doubt that I met a lot of good men before my husband, and God told me, "No, like, this doesn't align with where I'm taking you to. So just trust me. I will let you know when the right person comes." So I think we also see this, whether, I think I've heard some people try to liken this to, like, Adam and the, you know, animals, when all the animals were coming, and scripture says, "But none was found suitable for him."
Was
Exactly. So I've heard people say that. So,
possible.
you know, I'm saying I've heard all the, you know, arguments for,
God.
again, up, down, everything, blah blah, you know. Yeah. So I wanted us to just have that convo. And I'm even very happy that you have, like, a different point of view, because I want people to hear a different point of view. So I'm very, very happy. You know, the ultimate thing and the whole bottom line is choose with God, and don't just go off on your own, making your own decision. Yeah. And also, like somebody
Sorry.
and say, "God told
Yes,
me."
I wanted to. Oh my God, we're on the same page. We're actually on the same page. What says?
Actually.
To say, because people are still doing this thing. You can't come and tell me that God told you that I'm his wife. I have the same spirit of God. God is also my father, and he also speaks to me. If that is true, he will tell me too. Until then, I don't want to hear from you. I'm sorry. All right, so that's another red flag. Just saying.
You're ready for. Oh my
Another red flag.
goodness,
I
I'm
mean,
sorry.
if of course, oh, this is not to say that God doesn't do these things, all right? Like, God can actually show you in a vision or show you in a dream that, oh yeah, like this is the person. But that's where wisdom actually comes in. You don't, it's, you don't, not even in 2023, not in this century, you just don't come to someone and come and say, oh, God is telling me that you are putting pressure on that person, all right? Which is not. So when if God tells you or shows you, for example, that oh, this is your partner, this is your future wife, and all of those things, go and check the person, go through the process. Oh, how are you? Oh, I like your dress today. You look really lovely. Oh, next week, oh, this is that. Ask the person out on a date, collect their number, get to know this person. Maybe it's now later on when you guys have already built that friendship or built that relationship, then now tell the person that you won't believe it, God actually told me from the
That was
beginning
what
that
happened with me
yes.
and my husband. Exactly
And I
that.
didn't want to say, so it takes wisdom.
Yeah. And I was very happy that he didn't, like, come to me and say, "Oh, God has already shown me that, yes, we should go ahead." I was just, I would have run in the opposite
Would
direction.
exactly
Wow, that's actually
imagine?
true. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have any last words or advice or anything?
Think I'd just like to say that at the end of the day, when it comes to choosing your partner. Okay, sorry, let me just redirect. I think one thing that we did not mention that I think is important is for people to be accountable. That saves you from a lot. Apart from solving issues in your relationship and all of that, it tells you what or how like if your partner is someone that can listen to other people, which I think is an important, is a very important trait for a person to have, because I've seen cases where, you know, this was actually a married woman that actually came to my DM to talk to me. I cried when I actually finished reading the message, because like they have a whole YouTube channel, they do all of these, they used to do all of these things, and then all of a sudden she said, oh, her husband, you know, doesn't even want to touch her anymore. Like he now slaps her, hits her. I'm like, from where? I'm like, okay, you know what? Is there someone you're both accountable to? Like, can you talk to your pastor about this thing? And she's like, oh, that no, he doesn't listen to anybody. To him, he believes, oh, it's only God is accountable to. And that is an issue, right? That is an issue. So be accountable to someone, like right from the dating stage. Right, it tells you a lot about your partner, to be honest. Like this person you're accountable to, obviously, is either your pastor or your counselor, someone you obviously regard, you know, on high. So do they listen to this person? Do they take this person's correction? All of that. So I think that's a very important thing to take note of. Because it's not even something that affects your relationship at the dating stage or even at the early stage of your marriage. It's like in the middle. Maybe after being married for after 5 years, after 10 years, issues that can be resolved by just talking to someone you both honor, but your partner has refused to, your wife has refused to, your husband has refused to talk to somebody. So yeah, I think that's one very important thing that you know, you need to take note of.
Thank you so much, Lady O. I had fun too. Like, you know, I think it's the longest
thing as well.
What do you say?
I still have been able to learn one or two things as well. So
same. Thank you so much. I'm sure, you know, lots of people are going to love this video. I'm so sure you're going to love this video.
I'm sure.
Yeah, because I have, you know, one of my girls here, she has been smiling from here to here. So I'm sure she's so excited and so happy. So I can see from her that many other people are going to love this. So yeah, thank you so much for your time. I'm so grateful.
Thank you too.
Please help me thank your husband as well, because I've been seeing him, you know, in the background. Please help me thank him as well. I'm very, very grateful for your time. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you.